Well, as we move into a new property cycle, a whole new generation of people are going to become financially independent through property. So today's show is going to be dedicated to help you become one of those. I've got two segments for you. In the first chat, I'm going to have a talk with Brett Warren about 10 things you need to consider when buying an investment property. 10 questions you should ask yourself, and this is whether you're a beginner or already an experienced investor. And then I'm going to share 5 things with you that you can do today to be more successful tomorrow. Now, I'm not talking about tomorrow, but I'm talking about the future. So if you're looking to grow your wealth, protect your wealth, become more financially successful moving forward, there's lots for you in today's show. So welcome.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
With the housing markets entering a new cycle, a new phase of strong growth, there are more people than ever interested in getting involved in property investment. However, if history repeats itself, and it most likely will, while some investors will develop financial freedom through property, most won't. Close to 50% of people who have got involved in property investment over the years sell up in the first 5 years. In fact, 92% never, ever get past their first or second property. The statistics from the tax department show that 1.9 million Australians never get past that first or second property, and less than 21,000 Australian investors own 6 or more properties. Now, interestingly, Kate Forbes, one of my business partners, did some detailed numbers of Metropole clients to see what their statistics are like. And interestingly, we're 7-8 times as more likely for our clients to have a very large property portfolio. But anyway, at the moment, as we're moving into this new cycle, there's so many options out there. Everyone's suddenly a property expert wanting to give you some advice, give you some guidance. And I don't know if you've noticed, many of their suggestions are conflicting. So whether you're a beginning property investor or an experienced investor, today I'd like to help you take advantage of this new property cycle by discussing 10 questions that I believe all investors should get their heads around. And I'm going to have a chat with Brett Warren, National Director of Metropole Properties, and my business partner who's based in Brisbane, about these questions. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Michael. Good to be with you.
Well, I know you've noticed on the ground that the sentiment has totally changed this year, hasn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely amazing, the start to the year. It's unprecedented.
Sure. So what are some of the questions that you think should be on the mind of those people wanting to get into the market, whether they're new or whether they're experienced investors?
Yeah, look, I think the first thing before you do anything, as Dr. Stephen Covey said, start with the end in mind. So number one for me is, what do I want to achieve? Is it money, wealth, financial freedom, maybe all of the above? But bricks and mortar are not really the end goal. They're just the vehicle to help you get there. So firstly, identify your end goal, then work backwards, reverse engineer, formulate a plan to get there and a time frame that works for you. So property investment, as with any other journey, requires you to know where you're heading and how you intend to get there. Unfortunately, most investors, Michael, don't have a plan, and that's why they kind of get lost along the way or distracted and fall into the trap of the hotspot or the next investment fad. And if they don't have a plan, they rarely follow it up and make sure they're on track.
Sure. So I get what you're saying. So you've got to know what the end game is, and it's different for everybody, and it depends how long your journey is. And when people ask me, well, what should it be? What I say to them, Brett, is I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to hold. I don't know when you retire in 10, 15 years' time, or some people don't want to retire, but they want more choices. I don't know whether the government's going to allow negative gearing or not. I don't know whether they're going to be able to borrow in their super fund or not. I don't know what the tax rates are going to be or what interest rates are going to be. But what I do know, what I know we can assure them when we put a strategic plan together for them, is if they have a substantial asset base, they're going to have choices. And if they don't have an asset base, their big asset base, they'll have fewer choices. And superannuation on its own, the compulsory super, just isn't enough, is it, Brett?
No, look, and you know, I guess there was talk of taxing super in last year's election. So, as you mentioned, I prefer to have be in control of my own future rather than be at the whim of the government at this stage of the cycle, that's for sure.
Sure. So when our property strategists at Metropole help people put a plan together, we start off with the concept that they should, in the end, have their home with no debt against it. That doesn't mean you've got to pay the debt against your home down straight away. In fact, there's often better uses of your money along the journey because it is a journey, and that's why you need the plan, because as you say, if you don't have a plan, it's too easy to get sidetracked. But the end game is have your home with no debt, have a property portfolio, and how many properties you can have in the portfolio isn't as important as how big the asset base is. But again, how many you can have or how big the asset base is will depend upon how much time you've got and how good your asset choice is to build an asset base. But you're going to end up with a level of debt. You should probably go into those golden years with a level of debt so you've still got the benefit of leverage. Every Australian is going to have some super. And I guess the longer you've been working, the more you're going to have in the super. And I believe you also need a level of maybe shares, maybe managed funds, or something for cash flow as well. So you're going to need a blended asset base. That's the end game. And then, as you start to say, you need to build a plan on how to achieve that and how to lower your loan-to-value ratios along the journey so that you are then going to have an asset base that works for you, that gives you cash. So the first step is growing your asset base. And then the next step is lowering your loan-to-value ratios so that eventually you have cash flow. It's got to be in the right order, Brett, isn't it? So the first question that you suggested people should say is, ask themselves is, what do I want to achieve? What else should they be asking themselves?
The second one is what is the required strategy? What's your preferred strategy? So once you know where you're going, you need to implement an investment strategy that actually helps you get there. As we know, Michael, you can't save your way to wealth. It's too difficult, but my goal would be to build a substantial asset base through growth assets and capital growth.
I agree with you. If you think about it, when you retire, most of your wealth won't be the rent that you've received. So the extra cash flow is not going to help you. Won't be the wages that you've earned. So having extra wages will give you the serviceability to borrow, but you're going to pay tax on all those extra wages. And what will give you an asset base at the end of this journey will be the tax-free capital growth in the value of your property portfolio. A portion of it will be in your home. If you think about it, the biggest asset most Australians have is their home. And in fact, that's the biggest and probably only asset most Australians have. But we want you to have other assets that grow along the way. So I agree with you. My preferred strategy also is capital growth. What's the next question people should be asking?
Now we have to, I guess, find the vehicle. So the first thing we look for is where should I buy? And Michael, we believe that 80% it's got to do with the location. That's what's going to do the heavy lifting. And it's critical to the long performance of your investment. So, you know, we want to make sure we're getting that compounding growth. So we're looking for areas that have always outperformed the averages or potentially ones going through gentrification. These are generally lifestyle suburbs in our major capital cities close to the CBD or amenities or the water. And Michael, we've only seen recently the significance of the neighbourhood, which has become a really important factor.
You're right. So once you've identified a group of investment grade suburbs by looking at the history, as you say, in other words, where you should buy, we then drill down even further to choose the best spots in those suburbs. We all know that even in the suburbs we live in, there are locations that you probably wouldn't live in. And as you said, Brett, I agree with you. In this new COVID normal world, whatever that's going to be as we move forward, people have realized how important neighborhood is. The proximity to things, that 20-minute neighbourhood that I've seen you do some great videos about, the ability to work, live, play within 20 minutes, so whether it's bike ride or walk, access to things like shopping, business services, community education, that's the importance of 20-minute neighbourhood. So we're discussing the questions investors should be asking themselves. So the first one is, what do I want to achieve? Number two is, how am I going to achieve it? What strategy? And only then do you start looking at location. But that's not the way most people do it, Brett. Most people start with, I guess, what the next question is, what property in that location? And then they sort of find information to confirm the property they fell in love with. That's the wrong way around.
Absolutely, Michael. And isn't it interesting they start there? But the other thing is, I always say, if you ever sit down with a property expert, and as you say, Michael, there's 25 million of those in Australia. So if you ever sit down with a property expert and they start off with the property or a particular property, you're probably in the wrong place, to be honest, aren't you?
I agree with you. That's the problem when you're asking people as advice if they've got stock to sell or a vested interest, even if they've got a vested interest just in the one state. We've seen that a lot, that people go to buyer's agents who are very good at what they do, but if they can only help you in Western Australia, for example, for the last decade they've been telling people to invest in their home turf when, in fact, it hasn't worked too well. There's others who actually do all the homework and research on the internet, but over the last year or two, Brett, they've been buying properties interstate. I don't know how they do it if they can't see them.
No, it's a bit of a concern, and I guess that leads us to number four, which is what type of property. We've got the location right. The remaining 20% is the property itself, so this is going to depend on your budget. And obviously, in general, houses will deliver stronger capital growth than apartments and townhouses. This is a lot to do with the location, so we've got to get the location right to start with. I'd rather own a villa unit, a townhouse or an apartment in a really strong neighbourhood in an inner or middle-ring suburb than a house miles out where there's, you know, 1,000, 2,000 square metres of land. So today more people are trading their backyards for courtyards and balconies to be situated right where the action is in the right locations.
Now, I agree with you, but some people are going to say, no, they're actually moving to regional Australia and they're going to point out statistics. You know how you can make statistics lie and almost say anything. So they're going to say, hey, this particular country town has actually performed better than the Sydney property market or the Brisbane property market. But that's not fair. You're comparing a town of 5,000, 10,000 people with a city of 5 million people.
Absolutely. And as you said, Mike, I mean, we follow the big trends. 80% of people who move to Australia move to Brisbane, Sydney or Melbourne. So there's always going to be these minor trends and fads that come up. But it's really, really important that you stay the course and you follow the bigger trends.
So now once we've chosen the location, what we really got to do is find the right property in that location using Metropole's six-stranded strategic approach so that we only buy properties that would have owner-occupier appeal. Not that we plan to sell our properties, not that we're recommending clients sell them, but because we're looking for locations where owner-occupiers will buy similar properties, pushing up the value of local real estate. And that's particularly important moving forward where the percentage of investors is a bit lower, likely to diminish a bit. It's not just owner-occupiers, though. We're looking for the type of property where the tenants who are going to be able to pay you the rent to start with, they're going to have the right sort of lifestyle, the right sort of jobs, the right sort of income. We're looking for the right demographic of owner-occupiers and potential tenants who, over the long term, will be able to afford to pay higher rent, meaning that you're going to get more cash flow. So the first strand of our six-stranded strategic approach is finding a property that appeals to owner-occupiers. The second one is to buy a property below its intrinsic value. And that means that you don't overpay by buying new or off-the-plan properties. Now, we do buy some new properties, Brett. We often buy new townhouses, but not ones that come at a premium, but ones that have been built for owner-occupiers that fit in with strand one. And we like properties with a high land-to-asset ratio. That doesn't necessarily mean a large block of land, but one where the land component makes a significant part of the asset value. As you already said, we're looking for areas with strong capital growth, but ones that are going to continue to outperform. Again, it all has to do with the demographics of the local people there, gentrifying areas, like you said. And again, it's not a judge of people, but there's no doubt that not just during COVID, but over time, the rich just keep getting richer. So we're looking for those areas where there's established money and a wide range of people living there, people who bought their properties 30 years ago and almost paid off their mortgage, people who bought their property 20 years ago and have half of their mortgage paid off, and some people who maybe have got a newer mortgage they've only bought a little while ago. But there's a depth of people, and we're looking for established money areas rather than new money locations in the outer suburbs where most people have actually overcommitted themselves or committed themselves to the hill to get in. And that's normal. That's okay. But they're not good investment grade locations. So we also look for a property with a twist, something unique, something a bit special, something a bit different, something scarce about it. And we love buying properties where we can manufacture capital growth using refurbishment, renovations, redevelopment, rather than just waiting for the market to do the heavy lifting. So Brett, sorry I interrupted your train of thought about what type of property, but I just thought I'd share that's the process we use to choose the right type of property. What other questions should potential investors be asking themselves?
Well, there's a couple of points you raised there, Michael, but number five is, should I buy something old or new? And obviously more often than not, newer off-the-plan apartments are generally in those big high-rise buildings. And, you know, we talked about land to asset and owner-occupier appeal. It just has none of those aspects, does it?
No, and it doesn't have the scarcity either. And interestingly, a lot of those were bought by investors and they see them as investment properties. Now, they're investment stock properties, not what we call investment grade. The problem here is you're usually paying a premium to the developer and you're missing out on, I don't know, sometimes the first decade of capital growth. Interestingly, those buildings have often got more investors in them than owner-occupiers. So the body corporate meetings would be fun at this time, especially with half the investors being overseas. I wouldn't want to be in one of those owners' corporation meetings. I prefer buildings where there's more owner-occupiers involved. And therefore, in general, there are exceptions. I prefer to buy established properties, maybe even if it's an apartment in a character-filled block. And again, one that's tarted up, one that you can tart up, you've got the ability to do cosmetic renovations. Because if you're buying already new, already all done up, there's no upside potential, Brett.
No, that's right. And I think the other thing to add, Michael, is property is the only asset where you actually can add some value to. You can't do it with shares and money in the bank and things like that. So I think potentially people are probably missing a bit of a trick there. You know, it doesn't have to be done straight away, but I think it's something that can really help you, as you mentioned, manufacture that growth and the cash flow significantly quicker.
I think that's a good point. So when do you do the renovation? Do you do it straight away? Do you do it later? There are various tax implications. People don't understand that. The other thing is that they can't take away that renovation potential, that upside potential from you. So sometimes it's best to buy the best property you can afford and the best location you can afford now, one with renovation potential. When I said the best property, one that's got the upside potential. Use your money now, and 3, 4, 5 years down the track, when you've got $40,000-$50,000, maybe not enough for the next deposit, you could actually use it to do up your property. That gives you extra rent, gives you increased value, gives you wider appeal for tenants. So, yeah, I like the upside potential too, Brett. I guess another question people should be asking themselves is, when should I buy?
Timing the market, getting it right. It's a great question, and the answer is always 20 years ago, isn't it, Michael? But, you know, look, there's no sense in trying to time the market. I mean, even experts can't get it right. So we always say the right time to buy is actually when you're in a financial position and you're in a comfortable position to do so.
So interesting. This is, again, one of the questions people ask us when they come to see you and the other property strategists at Metropole. What should I buy? When should I buy? How much does it cost? When, in fact, what we did was put a different order to the questions. No, before you even ask those questions, let's actually work out where you want to go, put a plan together, understand what you've got to do. And then all these other questions will help you work out how you implement that plan. So when should you buy? When the finance is right for you. I guess the next question people will be asking is, what can I afford? Because when I've been speaking with clients, I find they've got three, I guess, levers to pull. One is their budget. That's determined by the banks. The second one is location. And we've already mentioned we're not prepared to compromise on that. And the third one then is the type of property in that location. So what you can afford is critical. But I've found it interesting that if you go to the normal bank manager or try and do things online, you can get a particular figure. But we at Metropole use a group of finance strategists who seem to know their way around that maze of lending and finance and can get some of our clients, sometimes get our clients, substantially more borrowing capacity. It makes a big difference.
Look, it certainly does. And I think that's a really bit of a trick, Michael, is if you're setting it up like a business, a bank or a broker might have a very short-term focus, but we need to be focusing longer-term and creating more wealth and creating options and setting you up properly. So, you know, someone who does cars and caravans and boats, obviously it might be a bit of a jack-of-all-trades, but if you've got someone who specializes and can find the loopholes that are in the market every day, they're going to get the best result for you from the start.
Sure. So setting up your finance should not just be to purchase a property, but to purchase time, to buy you time to ride the ups and downs of the cycle by having financial buffers in place, but also with the view of getting property number two or three. Not straight away, it doesn't work as quickly as that, but you've got to know where you're heading. I think another question people should be asking is, in which entity, how they should set up their properties?
Yeah, look, it's incredibly important to, you know, to know what to own your investment property in and what entity protects your assets and minimises tax. And it's quite a complicated thing and something that the average person, look, even probably myself, it doesn't know what I need to know, but I don't necessarily need to because I've got a good team on my side who can point me in the right direction. But I can assure you that getting that right from the start is critically important because, as we know, Michael, if we have to change entity at some stage or we're handing down an asset to a family member, if we've held an asset for 10, 15, 20 years, that could be a considerable amount of money we're having to spend and pay out.
Sure. So do you own a property in your own name, in joint names, in your super fund, in a trust? And what happens, Brett, is that what's probably best for you today isn't always the right answer 20, 30 years down the track. So you've got to think about the long term as well and what your plan is that goes back to the plan. So sometimes it costs a little bit to set up an ownership structure today, and people think, oh, I don't want to spend that couple of thousand dollars. I'd rather put it into my property. But it costs a lot more, as you say, later on to change the ownership structure. Over time, people's circumstances change. So I think it's a good idea to get advice early in the piece from an accountant, not always your accountant, because most accountants are very simplistic. Now, it doesn't suit everybody. It depends if you're in business, if you're a PAYG earner, but at least ask the question. I guess another question you should ask is, who should I ask?
Yeah, well, look, you've got your finance in place. You've got your entity sorted out. And the next question is, who to ask for help and what are you doing? And as we always say, Michael, if you're the smartest person in your team, you're probably in the wrong room or you're in trouble one way.
Well, you're right. So real estate is a team sport. It requires expert advice from an accountant, a solicitor, a finance broker, a property strategist, an independent property strategist, somebody who hasn't got a vested interest, a mentor, a buyer's agent. In other words, to secure your financial future, you're going to need more than just a buyer's agent. You're going to need more than a property strategist. And look, here's a shameless plug for our team. At Metropole, we offer a 360-degree holistic approach to help our clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth. We have a financial planning arm. We have a wealth advisory arm for high net worth clients. We have property strategists. We've got a detailed research department. And so therefore, when clients sit with a property strategist, it makes no difference in which state they sit, in which state the property strategist is. We've got no vested interest. We actually look at, we've got details of every suburb, houses and apartments going back close to 40 years to see how they're going, but also the information about what's moving forward, the various research that we get about what's going to change the demographic changes and the employment changes that are going to lead to future growth as well. So that's the sort of information that a buyer's agent can't give you. It's in fact the sort of information a property strategist can't give you. So if you're interested in taking advantage of this property cycle, I'm going to finish my shameless plug in just a sec. Go to metropole.com.au and you could even end up having a chat with Brett personally about your personal circumstances. So, Brett, can I throw in one last question that people should ask themselves? And the question they probably should ask themselves is, should I take advice from my friends or family? What would you say to them?
Yeah. Look, 99% of the time, Michael, the answer is probably going to be no, unless they've been there and done that and wrote the book, as we say, the answer is very much probably going to be no, because usually the crowd and 96 or 97% of property investors are wrong, as we can see from the statistics.
Sure. And the problem is they're well-meaning. And as you said earlier on, everyone thinks they're a property expert. And at this stage of the cycle, when everyone's optimistic, people keep coming out of the woodwork with well-meaning advice. However, what happens is that if you do what everyone else does, we just know what happens. You end up getting the same results as them. On the other hand, if you ask the right questions, like the ones Brett and I have just discussed, you could be one of that small group of people that are going to take advantage well of this cycle. I mean, Brett, every time the market picks up like this, every time the cycle moves on, a whole new generation of investors enjoy prosperity that property can bring them. And I guess that's part of your job, my job, to help people achieve that.
Yeah, look, a property is definitely back in fashion. And obviously, you know, making the right decisions, we always say don't make long-term decisions based on short-term information or short-term markets and things like that. So stick to the fundamentals and stay true to the course.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, thank you. It's always having fun having a chat formally with you. I mean, we speak two or three times a day anyway, but it's nice to just bounce off each other. I look forward to having a chat again real soon.
Thanks, Michael. That was great.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
I'd like to have a chat with you about five things you can do today to become more successful tomorrow. Now, I'm not really talking about tomorrow. I'm talking about the future, aren't I? So when you're coming to the Michael Yardney podcast, you're probably interested in property and property investment. That's not really, really what you're after, is it? If you think about it, you're more likely to look for choices in life. You're wanting more options in the future. You're wanting more success in areas of your life. And I guess for you, like for a lot of people, property will be the vehicle to achieve that. Now, when I look at people around me who are ultra successful, and I mean whether it's in their business, in their investing, with money, in their physical health, or whatever, maybe it's the relationships. Interestingly, it's not that they're any smarter. It's not that they're any more talented. That they weren't born with something special. Instead, I've drilled it down after having dealt with so many successful business people, entrepreneurs and investors, that it's really that they have a different mindset. They think differently. And you've heard me say it before. Your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions, and your actions lead to your results. So for these successful people, the outside world, the results that you see, is really a reflection of their inside world, the way they think. So I'd like to share with you five ways you can think differently to help make your life more successful. I guess I'm calling these mindset shifts. So the first way to think differently to the average person is the average person thinks, I can't. But successful people think differently. They wonder, how do I? I remember reading about this way of thinking in Robert Kiyosaki's book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where he said, poor people tend to say, I can't afford it, while rich people ask, how do I afford it? Now, here's a good example of that. Currently, many people are saying, oh, I can't afford to get into the property market. It's already moved on. It's too expensive. Yet a smaller group of people are asking a better question. How can I get into the property market? And by doing that, they spend less than they earn. They save up a deposit. They take the time to educate themselves to become financially fluent. Or they take advantage of some of the incentives that are available at the moment. And they get into the property market. So my question to you is, in what areas of your life are you thinking, I can't? Now you should be thinking, how can I? The second mindset shift is the average person thinks, I want to, while successful people think, I will. In Star Wars, Yoda famously said, do or do not, there's no try. Now, hey, did you notice I didn't even try doing a Yoda impersonation? But Yoda said, do or do not, there's no try. So let me ask you a question. Have you ever said, look, I want to become financially disciplined, or I want to invest in property, or I want to lose weight? There's a massive difference between the desire and the commitment. And that's why if you want to become successful, an important mindset shift is moving from I want to I will do it. You know what it's like. You want to do things, but then you find that you don't actually get them done, whether it's daily exercise, losing weight, or to being disciplined in your money. I found it interesting that so many of us are disciplined, so disciplined in certain areas of our life, such as, I don't know, diet or exercise, yet poorly disciplined in other areas of life, such as financial management. So how do you get to do things rather than just want to do things? And the answer is not just to convince the logical side of your mind that you're going to do something, but you also need to work on the unconscious part of your mind, your emotional side. The best way I know about doing this is to figure out your why. Why is it that you want to do whatever you're going to do? Why do you want to lose weight? I mean, once you have had the heart attack and your doctor tells you you've got no choice, it's funny how suddenly you go on your daily walks, you eat better and you get fitter. Similarly, why do you want to invest in property? Work on your why. Is it you want more choices in life? Is it you're looking for financial freedom for you, for your family? Of course, the stronger your why, the more likely you're going to move from I want to I will do. So as we work through the mindset shifts that you're going to need to do today to become more successful tomorrow, the third one is that the average person thinks, it's not my fault, while successful people think, it's my responsibility. You see, there's no such thing as a rich victim. Yet when things go wrong, most people love to say, it's not my fault. You know, it's never been their fault. They blame their parents, their education, the boss, the banks, the government. In contrast, successful people take responsibility. Fact is, it doesn't matter whose fault something is. Successful people take ownership and responsibility for everything in their life. So from now on, no more of this, well, it's not my fault that this happened. Instead, start thinking, hey, it's my responsibility. Now, I don't care why it happened, but I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. Remember, we're going through the mindset shifts of successful people, or that you're going to have to make to become more successful. And another one is the average person thinks, I got lucky. While successful people think, I created my own luck. A lot of people think that rich people are just lucky. Successful people are lucky. Great athletes are lucky. But talk to any of these rich people, those successful people, or those great athletes, and you'll find out it wasn't luck. Sure, we occasionally get some random luck, or some good luck, some bad luck, like winning the lottery or receiving an inheritance. But no one has control over random good luck or random bad luck. However, the rich, the successful people, they manufacture their own luck. They're in the business of creating luck. They do certain things every day that creates the opportunities for good luck. They're trying to create luck to occur in their lives. These things are the things that we call rich habits. Interestingly, that's the focus of my international best-selling book that I've written with Tom Corley, Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Now, I'm very proud of that book. It's been translated to 5 languages. It's been a bestseller in multiple countries around the world. And it's because these are universal traits, the universal traits of successful people. They've got rich habits. These rich habits are various habits that the successful people have either learned from their parents, from a mentor, or through the school of hard knocks. Oh, by the way, if you after your own copy of the book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, why not go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and buy yourself a copy and start developing more rich habits and getting rid of some of your poor habits. But as I was starting to say, successful people have got more rich habits, while the average person, they seem to just be doing things that manifest into bad luck. We call these poor habits. But let me make one thing clear. You've already won the lottery if you're listening to this podcast. You've won the genetic lottery by being born at the best time in history. And you're probably listening to this in a country where you've got freedoms that most people would die for. Now, I'm sure you've heard the expression, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Luck happens all the time. It happens to everybody. But people who are prepared for it, recognize it, and are prepared to take advantage of the luck, they're the ones who actually get to reap the benefits of that lucky situation. So the bottom line is, if you want more luck in your life, prepare for it by developing good habits, hard-working habits, and also, you've got to be optimistic. You've got to look for the good in things. And the last mindset shift I'd like to discuss with you today is how to think differently to the average person who thinks it happens, while successful people think, I made it happen. You see, a lot of people think that everything in their life just happened by accident. On the other hand, successful people realize that nothing just happens. They understand the principle of cause and effect. They realize that they're creating their future every day by dealing with the things that they're doing today. Just like you've created what's happening to you today by things you did quite some time ago. You're listening to this podcast because you subscribed to it on Apple Podcasts or Google Play or Spotify or wherever a while ago, and here you are today. For example, a lot of people read my Property Update newsletter because they were interested in money, success, property investment, and they subscribe to my blog and getting something every day. Your state of your health today is a result of your good or your bad eating habits. It's a result of the exercise or lack of exercise that occurred over the last months, over the last years. Your financial state is a result of your money habits, your level of delayed gratification, and your investment decisions that were made a long time ago. That's right. Everything in this world is a result of something else that made it happen. As I mentioned before, this is the principle of cause and effect. Everything that happened is the result of something else. But the good news is you can change your future by changing your way of thinking today and changing your actions today. Now, similarly, you can actually reverse engineer things that haven't gone how you hoped they would and ask, why did that happen? You can do that now because you can recognize that it wasn't an accident, while before you probably thought, hey, it just happened. I hope you're getting this. So while I could be spending this particular podcast and session talking to you about property and how to find the next hotspot or other areas, in my mind, this is amongst the most useful lessons I can give you, because you can get only so much from the property information. You've got to have the right mindset. You've got to have the rich habits. So as I was saying, what you can now do is actually reverse engineer and think about why things have happened, because now you recognize that there is this cause and effect relationship. So if you're unhappy with part of your life, realize that you are where you are today because of all the things you've chosen to do and the things you've chosen not to do. Every decision you made, it brought you to exactly where you are today. Now, rather than taking that as a negative, look at it as a positive. What this means is every decision you make going forward will lead you somewhere else. So the lesson is to stop treating your life as if it just happens and start creating a new future for yourself by thinking differently, by developing good habits. Now, again, I hope you're finding this type of information useful, because I think that's one of the big differences that I'm trying to bring in my podcast to a lot of the other property podcasts. I'm actually trying to mix the psychology of success, the mindset of success, together with the money and the property habits. So what's the quickest way for you to move forward? And there is a shortcut, and that's to get a good mentor who can see your blind spots and who can teach you different ways of thinking. Another way is to hang around with the right sort of people, successful people, positive people, people who've already achieved what you want to achieve. And by the way, that's exactly what happens to those people who join us once a year at Wealth Retreat. So this is my invitation to you to join me for 5 transformative days on the Gold Coast on June 12th to 16th in this year, 2021, and get one-on-one private mentorship with me and with a group of experts to help you achieve your most ambitious goals and to help you achieve your dreams. And this is not just in property, but in business and in life in general, because the aim of Wealth Retreat is to create lifetime wealth and leave a legacy. So the theme of Wealth Retreat is where you're going to be in 5 years' time. And when you join us, you're going to get mentorship. You're going to have the opportunity to interact one-on-one with me and our guest experts, so we can help you get a deeper insight and achieve your specific goals in property, in business, and in life. You're going to get masterminding. There's several hours every day brainstorming and getting ideas, advice, and solutions to your challenges from a hand-picked group of high achievers. Now, don't count yourself out, by the way. Every year, we have some beginners join us at Wealth Retreat. Now, if everyone was a beginner, it wouldn't be Wealth Retreat. But boy, that's the opportunity these people need to grow to the next level. Because one of the things you get at Wealth Retreat is networking. You're going to have plenty of time to build relationships with other participants during the breaks, meals at night, so you can connect on a deeper level and benefit from their input and expertise. And one of the things I love about Wealth Retreat is people leave their Superman capes at the front door. So while you've got some really very successful business people, entrepreneurs and investors in the room, they're there to help each other, and that's great. And of course, Wealth Retreat wouldn't be Wealth Retreat without the fun. Sure, the days are very full, but at nights we've got some great surprises for you. So if you'd like to get the highest possible level of support for your most ambitious life and business and investing goals, I encourage you to join me at Wealth Retreat on the Gold Coast on June 12th to 16th, which is actually a long weekend for a lot of people, the Queen's Birthday weekend. And you can find out more about it by going to wealthretreat.com.au. And again, don't count yourself out. This is your chance to take your property investment to the next level, your career to the next level, your business to a much higher level, or change the script completely and set off on a new path that's better aligned to your passions and your purpose. So if you're interested in joining us, leave your details at Wealth Retreat, because I speak to everybody who comes along or wants to come along to make sure that it's going to work for them, that it's suitable for them, that they're going to get benefit from it. Wealth Retreat attracts an extremely high caliber of attendees. It's a unique opportunity, a rare chance once a year, and we didn't do it last year because of COVID, to get together with people who are already successful, but willing to take serious leaps in their career, their personal life, their contributions to the world. And that's a constant theme that comes through Wealth Retreat: contribution and giving back. These people are a courageous few who dare to step up and they actually want to change. Now, don't count yourself out. You see, when you're surrounded with such motivated, energized, spiritually charged people, you tap into the power of the group and become more energized and powered yourself. There's no limit of what you can accomplish with the support and encouragement of such incredible people. So to get the best experience, we limit the number of people at Wealth Retreat. But learn more by going to wealthretreat.com.au, and I look forward to helping you perfect the life of your dreams. Well, I hope you got some benefit from today's show, and if you did, I'd really appreciate it if you told somebody else about the Michael Yardney podcast. My aim is to make as many people as financially fluent as possible to take advantage of this new property cycle. So if you tell them about it, they'll learn about some things they can do today to become more successful in the future, and they'll know those questions that I had a chat with Brett Warren about that they should be asking themselves. Use the share button on the podcast app, or just tell somebody about it, or why not leave us a review on the podcast app you're listening to this. Now, if you want to get more information, I'm here twice a week on the podcast. You can just follow me on social media, look for Michael Yardney, or why not join the private Facebook group? Go to Facebook and look for the property update for private Facebook group, where every day I leave a little snippet of exclusive information to help give you some extra insights into what's going on. Of course, I'd love it if you don't already subscribe to this podcast, to subscribe to it. And of course, the property update newsletter goes out every day. You can subscribe to that as well. So lots of ways that you can now find out more about how to grow your wealth, protect your wealth, and be more successful with money. Look forward to catching up with you again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?